I'm calling to order the public hearing on the 2015 budget for the Borough of Edgewood. If you would please stand with me to, oh, I'm sorry, you need to call the roll first. Ms. Bussey, you would call the roll.
Mr. Bright.
Here.
Dr. Wallace. Mr. Wainwright.
Here.
Mr. Wilson.
Here.
Dr. Petrola.
Here.
Mr. Fuller.
Here.
Ms. Schaefer.
Here, and let the record reflect that the mayor and solicitor are also in attendance. Now, if you would please stand with me to recite the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We are glad that you are here to comment on the Edgewood Borough 2015 budget. For those of you who wish to comment, please come to the podium and sign in. Whenever you give your comments, please say your name and address. You'll have one opportunity to speak and 5 minutes to address council. And these are the rules. Please, no debate between any speakers from the floor. Please, no profanity or obscenities, or you'll be ruled out of order. And if the behavior continues, you'll be escorted out. And with that, with the rules being read, please begin your comments. We're anxious to hear from you.
I'll try to follow the rules back.
Thanks, Tom.
It's hard for me. My name is Tom Herward. I live at 322 Dewey Avenue, where I've resided for over 35 years. I've come this evening to strongly oppose the proposed cut in funding for the library. I'm a former library trustee and board president, and therefore have a fairly intimate knowledge with library budget policies and operating challenges. I'm currently the president of the Allegheny County Library Association, which is a federation of the 45 suburban libraries in the county. And through ACLA, we distribute funds from the Regional Asset District and the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania to our members. The proposed $8,000 cut to the library in 2015 will result in serious unintended consequences to the library's budget in 2016. The Regional Asset District funding is distributed to member libraries through a complex formula of many factors. One of those factors is the contribution from local government sources. Your proposed cut will surely result in additional loss in Regional Asset District funding in 2016. My best estimate would be about a $5,000 loss in funding for that period of time. C.C. Miller currently enjoys incentive-level funding status with Commonwealth libraries, and because of this status, earns a larger dollar award in state funds. However, your proposed funding cut threatens the incentive-level status that the library currently enjoys. One of the key criteria in the current status is maintaining local government support. Your $8,000 cut could result in an estimated $20,000 loss in funding, because the library would then be pushed to the basic funding level as opposed to the incentive funding level. The result would be a combined loss of $8,000 from the borough, $5,000 from the Regional Asset District, and up to $20,000 from the state, which aggregates up to a $33,000 loss in budget for 2016, which would be catastrophic. Surely this is not what you intend for our library. The C.C. Merrill Library is one of the community's most important assets and deserves your full support. There has been some talk about the borough, about the library being able to replace the funds, the $8,000 that you have proposed to cut through additional fundraising. You should be aware that of the 45 suburban libraries in the ACLA Federation, C.C. Miller is in the top 5 in fundraising effectiveness. Fundraising as a percentage of their operating budget actually ranks C.C. Miller either number one or number two, depending on the year. So they have done a remarkable job in fundraising, and they are to be congratulated for this effort. I urge you to return the funding for the library to the 2013 level. I thank you for your consideration, and I very much thank you for your service.
I know a number of you sitting up there, as I've served on council with you, so for those of you that don't know, and for the rest of you, my name is Audrey Waldock, and I live at 131 La Crosse. As I said, I did serve on council, and it was a tough year. The first year, the budget was vetoed. We had to go back in January, and I do truly appreciate what you have had to deal with. But I would like to bring a little bit of a new twist to this. In 1993, Congress passed the Robert T. Stafford Disaster and Emergency Relief Act that created the Federal Emergency Management Agency, not so affectionately known as FEMA. In January 2013, Congress amended the Stafford Act, specifically 42 U.S.C. Section 5122.11b, to include libraries as providers of essential services of a governmental nature. This amendment to the Act came on the heels of Katrina, Sandy, blizzards in New England, tornadoes in Oklahoma, and many other natural disasters that have beset our nation in the last few years. Time after time, public libraries have played key roles in assisting communities to recover. At times, libraries outside of the affected areas came to the aid of their neighbors, offering everything from true shelter from a tornado, a place to charge a cell phone, and most importantly, and most recently in the case of Sandy, public libraries provided access to public computers so that residents could online apply for federal aid to help with the recovery in their community. Unfortunately, with the 2013 amendment, libraries are now eligible for aid so that the library, as an essential provider under FEMA, such as a power company, can immediately access federal aid to help in the recovery in order to help residents in their community with recovery. With FEMA's recognition, it is clear that our library will play an important and even a critical role in helping our community in a disaster. Council's responsibility, and I heard it many times, is to the health, safety, and welfare of its citizens. Since the library can and will play an important role in our community during a disaster, to inadequately fund the library is to compromise that health, safety, and welfare clause. There's others here tonight. We'll talk about the many reasons to adequately restore funding to C.C. Miller. And now you just have one more reason, an important reason as a member of council, to restore funding to the library. Because when the worst happens in our community, our library is essential to helping all of us recover. So I hope that you will take one more point into consideration as you review the budget. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Carl Bolton, and I'm an architect by profession, and I reside at 131 La Crosse. And I'd like to take a couple of minutes and talk about the library. First, I'd like to just let it go on record. I strongly oppose the proposed cuts to the library. I understand what a thankless job you have before you. I know from personal experience, most people don't realize the amount of time that it takes to be an effective council member. However, the 2015 budget has me worried for a couple reasons. I hear a lot of talk in this community about the word community. And we probably talk about it so much because we live fragmented lives. Our children go to many different schools in the area. The adults, we work in different parts of the greater Pittsburgh area. Many of our places of worship are located outside of Edgewood. I would argue that C.C. Miller Library is the one public institution in this community that actually creates this much-needed sense of community while providing essential services, all on a shoestring budget. Frankly, we do not provide adequate funds for the library in a good year. and now you want to slash the budget by 20%. As Tom had mentioned, the unintended consequences of this reduction in funding is a corresponding reduction in state funding and other funding sources. Specifically speaking about some of the items in the 2015 budget. Revenue. We're talking about cuts, and our revenue has increased over $242,000. The police budget has been increased by $83,000. The fire department had a very slight increase. Other departments have seen increases. It seems to me, after reviewing the 2015 budget, the major expense is in street paving. Right now you're talking about $408,000 for street paving. In 2014, we had zero for street paving. No one can argue that street paving is an essential service that the borough needs to provide. I live on La Crosse, for any of you, may I remind you, okay? So I understand the importance of good street paving, even if I'm never going to see it in my lifetime. However, what you're doing is not budgeting, you're allocating. What I want to know is why we are not budgeting a certain percentage of the budget every year for street paving. Right now you're trying to do it all in one fell swoop at $408,000. The first question I have is, if you're allocating $408,000 for street paving, can you allocate $400,000 and give that $8,000 back to the library? A couple other expenses that are low-hanging fruit. The newsletter. I love the newsletter. Most of the time now, I talk to a lot of our residents, we look at it online. We spend $13,000 for printing and postage of that newsletter. I love the newsletter, but hey, if something's going to go, the newsletter can go. Recreation. We had $1,000 in the celebration. Everything in the recreation budget, section, I believe that's 440, you itemize awards, fees for officials, other things. There's $10,000 allocated for the recreation board. I would like to know, what is the recreation board, since everything else is itemized? The last thing, this is my personal favorite, community. Under community affairs, community day, $11,000. Community day funding has increased by 10%. Okay? This is for one day. I like community day, but to me, it is not as essential as the library. Okay? You're spending $11,000 for one day. The library provides Edgewood residents with services 6 days a week, 52 weeks a year. If you're keeping track of that ratio, that's 312 days versus one day to benefit the community. In closing, I would just like to say the library is not a repository of books. It's an active information and cultural center for Edgewood. It provides many educational opportunities for children of all ages, provides a central location for community groups. We help residents with tax filing. We help residents with computer classes. The library is the information hub of this community. CC Mellow Library is Edgewood. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Christine Probert. I live at 1008 Walnut Street, and I currently have the pleasure, and I use that word loosely, of chairing the C.C. Mellor Library and Edgewood Community House Board of Trustees, because I'm going to spend part of my time this evening describing for all of you what an unusual and wonderful animal that is and how it benefits our communities and our entire service area. We have a rich history in Edgewood, and part of that legacy is the C.C. Mellor Library and Edgewood Community House, which also is the home of the Edgewood Club. I have been on the Board of Trustees for a number of years, and so I'm getting somewhat better at explaining the relationship, but I'm not perfect because it is so unusual. The Edgewood Club is a private club. The library is a public entity, and the building is owned by the Board of Trustees, and we are charged as a library with servicing five municipalities. Edgewood has always been the prime supporter of the municipalities to the library and the community house. And there is a lot of discomfort with a private entity and a public building coming together, and how does this work for all of us? Historically, the running of the board, the members of the Board of Trustees were heavily weighted toward Edgewood. The Edgewood Club provided 4 members of the Board of Trustees. The community provided 5, one of whom was the mayor, 2 of whom were members of this body, and 2 that were members of the Edgewood community. While servicing a 5-municipality area, the library consistently ran into challenges in explaining our even-handedness and in soliciting funds from all of those municipalities. Over the past 3 years, we have moved to make the board a broader representation. This council recused their seats. We have used those seats for community members. We now have members outside of Edgewood and in our 5 community service area. The Edgewood Club, while a private club, is a huge in-kind supporter of the services of the library. In the year 2014, they offer and support the library and other community organizations using both the living room and the ballroom of the building. They are responsible for the setup and the cleanup, as well as offering the room can't be used for any other services. This past year, 38 days were utilized at a cost of $500, which is the lowest rental fee that they offer for the living room. This is an in-kind contribution of $19,000. And that doesn't include the ballroom, which is used at least 22 of these days. The ballroom's rental is, least expensive rental, I believe, is $1,000. So their in-kind contribution is a huge benefit to all of us. This, I think, is a very, very important consideration in when we look at the benefits of all of these mutually servicing organizations. I understand that this is a very difficult decision. I know that you have got tremendous pressures on you. Certainly the speakers before have spoken eloquently to the value of this asset to our community today and in the future. And thank you so much for your support.
My name is Christine Telfer. I live at 129 Lloyd Avenue, and I'm going to basically read a letter that I wrote to council members. I want everybody else here to hear it. It's about how the library has been important to me personally and how important it is for the community. Dear council member, I'm writing to urge you to vote for continuing to fund the library at the current level. As a resident of Edgewood who uses the library on a regular basis, I think it would be very disappointing to see budget cuts lead to decreased hours or services provided by the library, and it would be a great loss for the community. The library has been extremely important to me on a personal level. When I first moved to Edgewood, I didn't have an internet connection, so I relied on being able to use PCs at the library to check my email. This fall, I was enrolled in an online course in teaching EL Civics as part of my work as an ESL, that's English as a Second Language teacher. While taking the course, I've had to deal with viruses and malware on my laptop, and though I did eventually get a new one, I'm really not sure I could have met my last deadline if I hadn't had access to PCs at the library. I mentioned the name of the course I'm taking because it seemed relevant here. Civics is all about how government works, and it gets me thinking along the lines of what's best for the community as a whole. Through the ESL courses I teach, I help immigrants from other countries, some of them refugees from places like Iraq, Syria, and Iran. I currently have quite a few from Ukraine. Acclimate here by learning English, how to acquire and transfer job skills, and in some cases apply for U.S. citizenship. And I frequently use PCs PCs at the library to type up and submit lesson plans so that I can help these students. And because I've been teaching a civics class this fall, I've been thinking a lot about how our democracy works, and one of the things that I think is most essential to keeping it strong is having an informed public. In this day and age, with so much information only available online, public access to PCs, as well as, of course, all the wonderful books and periodicals at the library, is essential. I didn't mention culture or the fact that I'm a published poet at the start of this email because work takes precedence in my life right now, but the library also hosts a fantastic poetry group, the Squirrel Hill Poetry Workshop, and occasional readings that, in my opinion, contribute a lot to Edgewood's cultural environment. And as a poet, bookseller, and organizer of poetry readings at AF Booksellers, a small neighborhood bookstore owned and run by council member John F. Bright, I've used the library's PCs to create flyers. I'd like to think the readings I organized myself also contributed to the neighborhood's cultural environment. And I'm not sure if I could have done it without access to the PCs and help from friendly librarians at the library, as well as support from the poetry group that the library hosts.
Thank you. Is there anyone else?
Hello, my name is Louise Steiner, and I live at 120 Beach Street. I would like to echo all of the sentiments that have been expressed here about the library as being a wonderful resource for the community. I think about the other things that kept the community together and cohesive, of course, the schools. We lost our local schools. The next big thing is the library, and it's so important to the whole community. As a senior, I use it a lot, and I know a lot of other seniors do. I hope that you can find a way to keep the funding going. And in that regard, I have another question about what happens to the money that the borough gets from recycling. I think if it's a good enough amount, more people would be interested in doing that, newspapers. Why not? You know, let's find out what it costs, what we get, what benefits we get from the recycling. And I would be happy to hear that. And I thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, please come forward and state your name. For those of you who are in the back, this is the public hearing on the Edgewood Borough proposed 2015 budget, and we're all very happy that you are here and engaged in local government. If you want to have anything to say, you can sign in, say your name and address, and don't swear at us. That's about it.
I do it in Serbian, will that matter? thank you for hearing me out. I'm a lucky number 7. I don't have a speech. I will just try to follow up on the earlier mention of immigrants. I live in Edgewood for 7 years. My name is Dr. Jelena Janic. I'm a professor at Duquesne University. And when we immigrated to Pittsburgh in 2000, we relied on libraries as a lifeline. We did not know how to pay our bills. There was nothing outside of a library that we could actually utilize as much as we did at the time. So the libraries were actually the first safe haven for me as I was a grad student with no money or no resources, and then moving forward throughout my career. When my son was born, he first visited the library when he was only 2 years old, and it is his favorite place. And actually, we visit many libraries around town, but in last year, this particular library kind of caught his eye because it has these programs that are quite engaged. There is actually a math club, an eco club, and pretty much he keeps asking why this is not happening every week. So it's also a family place for us. It's a safe place to spend time. So I work full-time, my husband works full-time. If the library hours get cut, pretty much our family time will have to go somewhere else, and I don't want that to happen. We also got to meet people from other service areas of the library that we have never met. Mothers who work from home. I met a lot of other children. And it became really a place where my son has been growing. He's been learning to read. He's been learning to play. He's only six now. And was one of the things that we moved to Edgewood was the attraction of Edgewood when we were picking this place before my son was born, that they had a library and an elementary school in close proximity. So I can't pretend I know your job. I can only say that I manage money on a daily basis. It's a hard thing to do. But sometimes the values are measured in non-numbers. Mm-hmm. So I would like you to consider that, and thank you for having me. And I'm honored to speak here.
Thanks. You, and welcome to Edgewood. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak at this time?
Hi, Andrew Miller. I'm here on behalf of the Regent Square Civic Association. I emailed over a letter ahead of time, but I just want to deliver a copy on behalf of the RCA asking.
I really don't like that brass wall. It drives me nuts, but it's pretty, and it's part of the grand design of the building, but it makes it more distant. Thank you very much, Andrew. Will you sign in, please,
certainly.
With your name and you just put the Regent Square Civic Association, because that's who you're representing. We'd appreciate that very much for our records.
Absolutely.
Is there anyone else who wishes to speak on the 2015 proposed Edgewood budget?
Hi, my name is Jen Alfieri. I live at 204 Oakview Avenue. And this is both for the library as well as Dixon Park. I did send a letter, but I'll just read it since I was able to come. Dear council members, I hope to attend the meeting this evening, but in the event that I can't make it, I did want to email my feedback and hopes for the borough that relate to library funding and the opportunity to better utilize Dixon Park. As a resident of Oakview Avenue since the fall of 98, I'm very much in support of the borough looking for ways to use what essentially has been an abandoned park since we have moved in. My husband and I must have misunderstood information from our real estate agent, as we were under the impression that the borough had been awarded a grant to renovate the park. We understand from lifelong residents that this green space was once very beautiful, versatile, and an absolute asset to our community. Since moving here, very little has happened, which has been a little bit disheartening. My children and those from the nearby streets do use the park on a fairly frequent basis, but certain areas are overrun with poison ivy, not so much fun in the summer, so they are unable to take full advantage of the space. Also, the old basketball or tennis court, I can't tell which it used to be, is nearly overgrown with trees, and some of the areas are a bit dangerous. It is unfortunate that several acres of green space are not able to be enjoyed as they once were by the residents. At a minimum, I would ask that you would at least consider putting at least one picnic table and a garbage container in the area. I am also supportive of further discussion for a dog park. If there would be a way to ensure that dog owners would have a way to clean up after their dog's waste so that people can still use the area. This seems to be a problem on many of the Edgewood streets lately as we walk to school. I'm not sure if anyone else has brought that up. I think the cleanup of the park requires some sweat and tears more so than dollars, unless a fence was built for the dog area, which would cost some money, which I think could be supported by resident volunteers. Several years ago, on a cleanup day, a group of us from the street worked together to clean up the area considerably. With only garbage bags and gloves, I can only imagine what a chainsaw might add. Also, I happened to drive up past the area of where the old Edgewood Tennis Club once operated in Braddock Hills and saw how the terrible conditions that now exist there. I hadn't seen that. It's very awful. And given that the property is very close to the upper part of this property, I think it's important that we begin to focus on the area to ensure that the space becomes an asset to the community as opposed to an eyesore. For the library, unless council could explain what the funds from the 20% cut for the library would go to, that would result in more benefit for the residents. I am one that is very much opposed to the cut. Although sometimes weeks pass that our family does not visit CC Mellor, the library is such an integral part of our neighborhood and has only seemed to grow stronger over the last several years, particularly the last few years. There's just so many programs. Please continue to support the library at the same or as close to possible level as previous years. Thank you very much.
Know that any and all emails and letters that were sent to either individual council members or, you know, were distributed to all of council so that all of the your concerns, all of your suggestions have been shared with all of council.
My name is Ruth Pickering McGregor. I live at 416 Locust Street. I'm former mayor, former member of the library board for 12 years. I think it's critical that the funds be returned to the library and that that not be cut. You've heard it from every single speaker tonight. And what I would like to know, and I think you should know, is how many of all of these people are here because of this issue. Is anybody here for anything else? I have never, since there was a discussion about eliminating the recreation board, I've never seen this council chamber this full. How many? Is everybody here because of this?
Mayor Pickering, we've asked that there not be debate or discussion. Okay.
Well, would you ask how many are here because of it, please?
Well, I think anyone who is not here for support of the library would be more than willing to speak on behalf of why they're here. It is an assumption, perhaps incorrectly, that that's why people are here.
Thank you, Ms. Schaefer.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Hi, I'm Bruce Rosenthal. I'm here to commend you for your job. This is a tough thing. This is the budget balancing is a tough thing to do. I think the library is important, but I also want to say a word and thank Jen for her comments about Dixon Park. And we have sent some emails, so I don't want to take up too much time, but I do want to go on record as asking the council to find some space in the budget for Dixon Park so that we can continue to build it out and revitalize it, and hopefully also have a dog park. Thank you.
Is there anyone else? Come on. We're extending the public because, you know, I think it's important. So
we just wanted to let you know that the library is the most important institution for us in Edgewood. It was the first place where we reached out to our community, and it's the place we go on cold days. It's the place where we refresh ourselves in the summer, and it's a great resource to the kids in our neighborhood. So we support continuing funds to the library.
Would you please state your name and address and sign in?
I apologize. I will absolutely. My name is Tanya Walter, and this is my daughter, Nora Ferracci, and we live at 122 Lincoln Avenue.
Ruth Ferracci, welcome to the Local Government and Community in Action.
say thank you.
Thank you. Happy to see you here in about 20 years. Is there anyone else?
I have laryngitis, so you have to excuse me. Actually, either that or I'm disguising my voice. I'm Susan Lammy from 321 Maple. It's interesting that in most communities, you would have this entire crowd here yelling at you because you're raising the property tax income $300,000, that's 20%. In most communities, we would have people pounding down the doors, yelling at you about that. In this community, people care so much about Edgewood. We're not here complaining about the police. We're not here complaining about recreation. We're here asking you to maintain the library funding at the current level because it is so important to this community. I am a very strong supporter of the library. I make a substantial contribution every year to the library, and I don't even use it. I haven't been to the library in ages, but it is so critical to this community. It made such a difference in my children's lives when they were growing up. It made such a difference about how I felt about this community, how my family felt about this community. It made me live here for 28 years, have my business here for 20 years. It's an incredible community, and the library is the heart of the community. That building, that library, that place, it's the soul of the community. And I hope we can maintain the funding. Thank you.
Is there anyone else?
I'm not really prepared, but I feel a need to speak. My name is Harry Winslow. I live on 113 Washington Street. I've been there a number of years. I'm here to speak on behalf of the library. During my career as an educator, I taught English at Gateway High School. And I was involved in a lot of activities there, cross-country, plays, things like that. And I didn't have many evenings where I didn't have essays to read and things of that nature, but I tried to get to the library a couple times a week. And then all of a sudden this wonderful thing occurred. There was going to be a library book sale. And I went to this book sale on a Friday night, and I looked at every book I could find, and I started buying books. And these were books that I knew this particular student would really enjoy reading, and this student and that student. And the following Monday, I would go back to school with a box full of books and give them to my students. And that helped me, and it helped them. And the library made it possible. So, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Winslow. Anyone else? I took some time out of a work day just to write out some notes because I think it's important for the community to understand what the borough does for the library, the impact that we have on our budget, and to clear up some misinformation and perhaps inadvertent misperception of a borough council. So bear with me while I read this. I want to thank you all for your comments and for your dedication to Edgewood and your dedication to the library. And I want to assure you that as individuals and as a council, we understand the place of C.C. Miller Library for the residents and the friends of Edgewood as well as our own families. My children enjoyed the summer book reading, and my daughter volunteered all the way through high school, college, and obtaining her master's at the library. So we do understand on an individual level what the library means. And Edgewood has donated in the past and will continue to support the library. There were various communications that may have inadvertently given our residents the perception the council is an adversary to the library, that the decrease in our proposed budgeted donation was done covertly and without care, and that is not the case. Our budget meetings are open to the public and they've been advertised. At the December 1st meeting, council voted to make the proposed budget available for review, and it was distributed the next day. When we received a letter of inquiry by the library board on dated December 1st, our response was sincere regarding the issues and looming expenditures that are before the borough, and the letter was hand-delivered. Although the C.C. Miller Library is not a department of the borough or under any of the borough's purview, the local municipalities of Forest Hills, Braddock Hills, Wilkins, Churchill, and Edgewood all contribute to the library. Last year, Edgewood's donation was not 0.02% of our budget, it was 1.36%, or $40,000. The proposed budget donation this year is 1% of our budget, or $32,000, which equals to $10.31 per capita. In 2015, Forest Hills, which has a branch of the library, is slated to donate $1.54 per capita, which is an increase of $1,700. Wilkins will donate 28 cents per capita, and Churchill 50 cents per capita, while their residents have access to the same quality programming. Edgewood's total donation is more than three times the amount of the other boroughs combined. We care about the library, and $32,000, or 1% of borough revenues, is not an insignificant donation for a small municipality to a separate entity and might otherwise have been seen such, except that funding or extra funding revenues, as you heard, for the library given by the state and the Regional Asset District for 2015 are tied up in a formula determined by the state and approved by ACLA, which has a number of different factors, and these include the amounts, the total amounts that local governments give, the population served, and the time and supplies used in outreach. It's the tying the municipal donations to a formula that unfortunately turns the well-meaning municipal donations into a library budget expectation and necessity. This is not unique to Edgewood. In conversations with other municipal officials who also carve out funds to support their local libraries, this formula puts an inordinate demand on municipalities and the need for higher and higher municipal donations. This model of funding using this particular formula will be more and more difficult for municipalities to sustain and threatens library programming and outreach. We're hoping, with Mr. Herward's leadership in ACLA and support garnered from other municipalities and other local leaders, that we might work together to get the formula revised to the benefit of all of the local libraries and the municipalities who support them. The borough budget is based on the estimated real estate value as certified by Allegheny County. A few years ago, with the assessed value increase, we kept our tax rate flat. There are no longer monies in the state budget for our representatives and senators to use to support municipal projects as had been in the past. We are responsible for public safety and infrastructure repair and maintenance and legislative work. The ordinance, we have to adhere to federal and state mandates, intermunicipal cooperation organizations and agreements to keep Edgewood at the table and a voice in regional negotiations which impact all of us, and for grant applications which we wouldn't be eligible for on our own. With every successful real estate appeal, we have to pay back the tax money that was previously budgeted and collected, and we anticipate more appeals in 2015. We are under a federal mandate as a region to repair and maintain an aging infrastructure in order to uphold the Clean Water Act. We have evaluated our sewer systems and are systematically repairing and maintaining them with more mandates and controls looming in the near future, very near future. Legislatively, we're working to partner with the other 82 municipalities to develop a comprehensive wet weather plan. And our efforts have been discussed with the EPA, who is considering our wet weather adaptive management plan. Using green solutions to cut down on wet weather overflows will take planning, implementing, and maintaining, and will also have an added cost. Last year, we took out a $1 million loan to jumpstart our very much-needed street paving program, which has been waiting for 5 years. Sorry, lacrosse isn't in there, but that will be $250,000 to do. We are continuing with our paving plan and beginning to pay off that loan. Our aging urban forest has been evaluated and needs care to keep the beauty of our tree-lined streets. Some trees will need to be pruned, and while others will need to be cut down because of safety issues and then replaced. We had a $167,000 emergency sewer and infrastructure repair this year. And with our aging infrastructure, we anticipate that there will be more, unfortunately. There is a cost to update our codes and ordinances. There's a cost to update our parks and recreation plan in order to consider a dog park and to begin to revitalize Dixon Park, as so many residents have requested, and that's the $10,000 for the Borough Rec Board that you asked about. Cost to replace police cars, Department of Public Works, equipment and vehicles, the cost of salt, water, electric, gas, all those costs have risen. Community Day that builds community and promotes our community organizations like the library, like the symphony, working with the School for the Deaf and others. These are just a few things that impact the borough's budget and are those sometimes no-see-ums that you talk about with respect to value to the borough. As I shared with the library board president in our letter, we know that folks can go through both of our budgets and find things to cut. Some email suggestions to council have been to cut down on the number of police because our crime statistics are down, to cut down on snow and ice removal, to cut staffing, to cut Community Day, to cut legislative activities, to cut street paving. And where the library staff is known and cared for by all of you, the Department of Public Works worker, basically on call 24 hours, 7 days a week, who leaves his warm bed to plow our streets in the middle of the night, or leaves a family event to take care of a Wilkinsburg sewer overflow in our neighborhood, or a fallen tree in the middle of a storm, is not as well known to you. Both contribute to the well-being of the community, and both deserve to have the training and the tools necessary to do their job safely and professionally. Our crime statistics are down because our officers are well-trained and watchful and work to de-escalate problems, effectively working cooperatively with other departments to catch those crooks and keep the borough as a walkable community day and night. And they have been very, very successful under the leadership of Chief Payne. Whatever is ultimately decided with this budget, please know that it will have been done so carefully and thoughtfully. And our hope is that there will continue to be open dialogue and community understanding from this, and that the library board will be more forthcoming with library use statistics, the audit, and have a renewed dedication to meet regularly with a quorum present. I know that's been a problem in the past for you. We all have a care and a responsibility to work together for our community and the many things that make Edgewood, Edgewood. Safe and cared for streets, green trees, well-tended parks, community building activities, partnerships with other communities that bring precious grant funding and cost-effective solutions to infrastructure needs. The maintaining of dedicated borough personnel, as well as support for a volunteer fire department, the symphony, and the library. So I thank you all very much for your words, and I hope that this does kind of clear up some of maybe some potential misinformation. Please know we are not library adversaries. We aren't. At this time, I would
Madam
like...
President, if I...
Yes.
Address the audience.
Yes, Mayor Cook, that's fine.
As mayor of the borough, I've been on the library board, been on council
I was also on the library board years ago. And I have to say that council does not and has never taken the decisions they make about funding of the library lightly. And I cannot tell you which way council is going to go on that. That is not in falls under my duties or anything. But I do feel that I would be remiss if they didn't put a challenge to each and every one of you here to make a Friends of the Library Club organization, get it off the ground. The frequency to which I would sit at the board meetings and we would not have the proper representation was embarrassing. And yet here you all are with a commitment. Then make it. Make it long lasting. Make it continuing. It's not just funding from the borough that's essential. It's involvement of the public. Sign up. Corner Sally Bogie. Say you're ready. It's important. And then we can help you grow. Introductions can be made into other communities where you already, our library here in Edgewood, representing other communities. We can help with introductions so that you can go there as well and seek additional funding. But the responsibility isn't just here on council. I understand the ACLIP funding is. There are other things that can be done to make this library as important, as significant as you all say it is. And I challenge each and every one of you to go to Sally Bogie and say, I'm here, it's time. We're underrepresented at Community Day. The frequency to which the library says that they're going to do a program there, and it doesn't work because they're not the staff people to be able to go down there and make yourselves visible. So the responsibility, yes, we have a big one here. But you all do as well, so I urge you, do it now. Corner Sally, sign up, get the program started.
Nicely, Corner Sally.
Yes.
Thank you all very much. We're going to take a 5-minute break so we can wet our whistle and hit the bathroom.
We need a motion to adjourn.
We do need a motion to adjourn.
A move to adjourn.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you very much. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you all once again.